tonight in Colossians chapter 4. I want to preach a message tonight on out of Colossians 4 here on fulfilling your ministry. Fulfilling your ministry or our ministry. It would be your ministry that God has called you to. God has called each and every one of you to a ministry. As we wrap up the year of 2020, we get ready to launch into 2021. God has things in store for each one of us and the path that He's put us onto. Whatever that ministry is that He has given to you to do, to carry out, how important that is. And we need to find our role and our place in that. And then be faithful to it. You know, faithfulness. Dr. Odom used to say, consistency, thou art a jewel. And faithfulness, and be faithful to what God's called you to in that. So when you think about that, this morning we preached a message on redeeming the time. And if you remember that over in Ephesians 5 on redeeming the time, and it talked there about being wise in what we do, making sure we make wise choices, good choices, godly choices, and because the days are evil at hand. You don't have to go very far as soon as you walk out of church tonight and realize that the days we're living in are evil days, and the Lord's coming is very near. So Paul encouraged the church at Ephesus to redeem the time because the days are evil. And by that word redeem, it means to regain possession of something in exchange for payment. It also means able to save people from their sin or their error or their evil. So Paul's warning over in Ephesians was redeem the time. Make sure you use wisely your time because the days are evil at hand. Now he uses in Colossians, I want to come back to this word tonight to redeem a little bit. And that, as we think on this message, fulfilling our ministry, the text verse will come out of verse 5 where he says, walk in wisdom. Remember that? That we said this morning, walk in wisdom toward them, though, that are without, redeeming the time. So here he tells the church at Colossae to redeem the time, but here the emphasis is put on redeeming the time because time is of an essence and to do all that we can do to reach a lost and dying world. So let's take a look at it here in Colossians 4 and verse 1. And you kind of see a roll call here of different individuals that at the church at Colossae that had redeemed the time, had been faithful, and Paul begins to list name after name after name after name of people that have served and people that have given their time and people that have given their energy in the Lord's work. And you know, I thought about that looking at this text of Scripture right here. We need to redeem our time, obviously, because the days are evil. We need to use our time wisely and realizing that whatever opportunity we have to reach any lost person this year, we need to take advantage of that and redeem the time. And then you can begin to list names and make sure that we fulfill our ministry like these here have in Colossians 4. Paul said this in Colossians 4:1, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. And then he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So you want a good guideline for 2021? There it is in verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in prayer. So continue and be faithful and continue with your prayer life and with thanksgiving. I always remember Dr. Raymond Barber in Bible college. He'd always pray, and at the end of each prayer, he'd say, and remember that? And with thanksgiving. And I'll never forget that. It seemed like every time Raymond Barber prayed and serving the Lord and whatever prayer it was always with thanksgiving. That's biblical, by the way. And verse 3, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. So here's something you and I can pray for this year, that God would open a door of opportunity, a door of utterance, a door to get the gospel out. And he said, withal praying for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance and to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. By the way, if you're not aware of it, I just got a thing that come across my desk. We got a new young couple coming into Dearborn and are going to start a Dearborn Baptist Church in Dearborn. and a young couple, and I thought, they're looking at Dearborn as a golden opportunity to come into Dearborn and preach the gospel among the Muslim population. And I think about that, and I thought, well, we just had a church in Dearborn, Faith Baptist Church, that moved out of Dearborn and moved out here to Canton, just 2 miles down the road. So you look here, whatever God's up to, we know God's, and the goal here is to get the gospel out to all people of all walks of life and every opportunity that we have. And he said here that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak what? The mystery of Christ, for which I, Paul said, am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And then our text verse here, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. That's the non-believer. Walk in wisdom in front of those that need to hear the gospel. Redeeming the time. If you're ever going to win somebody to Christ, you need to do it. If you've never won somebody to Christ, that should be your goal this year, is to lead a lost person to the Lord Jesus Christ. Find a lost person somewhere, wherever you go. If you go to the grocery store, you go to the cleaners, you go wherever, get a name, get a face, and start praying for them, and then pray for a way and an opportunity to share the gospel. I challenge you tonight, make that one of your 2021 goals. God, give me somebody that I can lead to Christ this year in 2021. And Paul said here that we can redeem the time, especially to them that are without, to them that don't believe, to them that need to hear the gospel. Let your speech be always with grace, he says, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Just uplift the name of Christ and just share the gospel wherever you go and to every person that you can have the opportunity to do so. And now he begins to talk about the individuals at the church at Colossae and how important it is in this Christian fellowship. My, how we could insert names in our congregation of people, that we had several went on to heaven last year. Now we're starting off a new year, and Bunny goes off the launching pad and on to heaven. So here's what Paul says of the church at Colossae. He said, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is my beloved brother. Beloved brother, and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. And very important there to see that Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister and a fellow servant. He said in verse 8, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and then comfort your hearts. So each one, again, fulfilling your ministry, fulfilling. Some of you have the opportunity to encourage, be an encourager to others, to exhort others, to lead others to Christ, to be able to reach out of your comfort zone, get out of your comfort zone and have an impact on others around you. Tychicus here, he said, whom I've sent unto you for that very purpose, that he might know your estate and then to comfort your hearts. There's a lot of people that need a lot of comfort right now. Especially with the age and the time that we live in, they need the pressure, and they need to know that people care. They need to know that people are concerned. They need to know that we're praying for them and encouraging them and helping them in any way that we can. By the way, let me just share with you, Brother Sam Husser called me from Louisiana yesterday, and there's another one. He just called and said, Brother, I'm checking in just to see how you guys are all doing up there in Michigan. So we talked a little bit, and how's it going in Louisiana? And they're running against the same challenges and the struggle and trying to get their people back to church. And then people in the congregation coming down with the coronavirus and things that they had to deal with. And so the struggles are real. But Sam said he and Sue are doing well. So he just called to check in to say, see how we're doing, how everybody's getting along here. And so a faithful minister, a fellow servant of the Lord. And so that he might know your estate and the comforting of your hearts. Notice he slides into verse 9, Onesimus. Notice that Onesimus now is a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you at the church at Colossae. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. So not only Tychicus, but now Onesimus, and then Aristarchus in verse 10, my fellow prisoner. And we'll come back to this my fellow prisoner saluteth you. And Marcus there, you might circle that word Marcus, because that is John Mark. Remember John Mark that went on the missionary journeys with the Apostle Paul? This would be Marcus, John Mark, and said here, Marcus. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, and touching whom you receive commandment, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus here, which is called justice, not our Lord Jesus, and Jesus here, which is called justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. So several of these here have been a comfort unto the Lord. And so, you know, when you think about that, I look back, and as I shared with you, those that have gone on before us have been an encouragement, have been a comfort, have been a help, and have been an encouragement along the way. That evidently the same thing is true here at the church at Colossae. So he said, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, spending time with Paul in the jail cell there, and fellow workers in the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. And then in verse 12, Epaphras. Epaphras is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I love that phrasing about talking about Epaphras, and that laboring fervently for you in prayers. There's always something to do in the ministry and the work of Christ. You know, there's somebody can always be praying, somebody can always be serving, somebody can always be giving to whatever capacity and finding your ministry, and here laboring fervently for you, and that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So find something to do in the year of 2021. You say, well, I don't know what I can do. You can pray. Everybody can pray. Everybody can have a prayer ministry. Everybody can, and there's plenty of things to go around. Out on the foyer, on the Welcome Center, is that yellow form. It talks about 2021. Find a ministry that you can do and fulfill that ministry, whatever that is that God's called you to do. If everybody picks up one thing, it lightens the load and spreads it across the board. So there's going to be challenges along this year. In 2021, I think, you know, I would pray and hope that we can get back to some kind of normalcy. And we need to get Awana going again. We need to get the children's ministry up and running again. We need to strengthen the nursery program. We need to realize that, you know, we got retreats and things with the young people. We got summer camp coming up that we want to get anybody that's in the junior department. Those kids, reach out to those. You got the young people again. We're praying that this year we can get back to some kind of a normal year with all that's going on. You know, I don't know about you, but it's a sad thing when a pandemic comes along and then it shuts down all the ministries and churches all over America, and what an impact that has. And so here we find laboring fervently for you. I will try this. If I pass out, thank Bob. Epaphras, what will be said of you and I? What will be said of you and I, like Tychicus here, Onesimus, Aristarchus, Marcus, and Jesus, and then Epaphras, a fellow servant. He said, talking about Epaphras here, for I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis, and Hierapolis. And so we find here a great zeal for those that are in the Lord's work. Just because somebody's not in church on Sunday doesn't mean they're not a part of the congregation, doesn't mean they're a part of what's going on, and they're prayer warriors. Look around you. You saw today our crowd was way down today. You got the coronavirus thing going on. You got the snow that come in today. You got a lot of things, issues. So our attendance today, I'd say, is probably lucky, not even a third of what it should be. And that are there to look around you. I stay in touch with as many as I possibly can. And by the way, let me just share with you. Norma Ibach says to tell you all hi. She wanted to get back to another service before she heads south. She's going to leave Wednesday for Cape Coral, Florida. She has a place in Cape Coral. And so I'm going to swing. I told her I'd swing by and see her before she heads south for the winter. So she's headed out Wednesday to Cape Coral. The other families in the church. And that we need to pray for. The Harmon family, Dell and Shar, always sit back here. After he had a lot of health issues this year, Dell and Shar Harmon haven't been able to get back, and they usually head south for the winter. Jim and Brandy Bright, who's usually set over here, they're already down in Florida for the winter. And we probably got 6, 7, maybe 8 families that head south for the winter time. And so just because somebody's not here on the Lord's Day doesn't mean they're not a part of the congregation. And one of the things that you and I need to pray for, I was telling Norma, one of the things that's on our prayer list and homework being done is to take a look how we can live stream our services or to get something on there so that people that are not here on any given Sunday can still plug in and take in the morning services. And so we're taking a look at that. Some money's come in designated toward that project. Tammy Phillips has been doing a lot of homework and research on that. Here in the deacons meeting in January, we're going to address that issue and dig into it a little bit more and kind of see. So that'd give an opportunity for shut-ins or for somebody that's out sick on a given Sunday or somebody that's out of state for the winter or whatever to be able to still tie into the local New Testament church. So we're looking at a way that to be able to do that. So notice he goes on in verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Luke here is the author and the writer of the Gospel of Luke and a good friend of the Apostle Paul. He says, salute, and notice here that given here in Demas, no title given to him. He says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans. And that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So these epistles that are written right here, and Colossae is a good example of that, they're to take and to read this letter. Paul writes this letter, and they're to read this letter to the church at Colossae, then to take the letter and to read it to the church at the Laodicean. And that, and what is so important that Paul talks about here in Colossae that that makes it so important? You know, he gives them an opening prayer back in chapter 1. He really talks about the exaltation of Christ. And that's really what the focus should be in 2021, is the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to find ways to exalt his name, proclaim his name, and uplift his name, and share the gospel with more and more people this year. And so Colossians is a great reminder of that. And so Paul telling the church of Colossae here, read this letter to the Colossian Christians. Read this letter to the Laodicean Christians about the exalting of Christ and the reconciling work of Christ and how that through the blood on the cross of Calvary, we are reconciled to Christ. And then if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. I would like to think as we finish one year and we look around, we see all the faces that everybody that starts a new year with you will be with you at the end of the year in 2021. That may be true and that may not be true. There might even be somebody sitting right here that will graduate onto heaven in the year of 2021. We don't know that. But whatever it is, you know, I was thinking about this, is that we need to be faithful to what God has called us to, be faithful followers of Christ, fulfilling your ministry. I think about those that have gone on before us. Dick Hook was a prime example. When Marie passed away, Dick came to me and he said, Pastor, he said, I got to have something to do. My wife is not here. He said, yeah, I've been a deacon in the church and I've done this. He said, put me to work. I said, well, what do you want to do? He said, what do you need done? And I said, well, we need help on the mower. He said, consider it done. Dick, from that moment on, began mowing here every Tuesday and every Friday, jumped on a mower all the way up until nearly the time of his death. Oh, he mowed right up until the mowing season ended, and he was, 93, 94, something like that, years of age. And so he said, what else do you need help with? I said, well, I go make visits every week, and a lot of times I go by myself. So I said, if you want, you can go help me make some visits. And he said, consider it done. So every week since then, since Marie went to heaven, Dick had pulled in. We decided that we'd go on Thursday. He'd pull in the parking lot out here about 1 or 2 o'clock and come down to the office and who we need to visit today. And we'd lay out a strategy, and off we would go. And Dick and I have made hundreds, if not thousands and thousands of visits along the way. So my point is fulfilling your ministry. Find what ministry God has called you to and fulfill that. Just don't be content to sit around. I think this year we lost Mardell. Mardell went to heaven. Mardell was one of those people that, you know, if you needed help with anything, one of the first hands that I would always see go up was Mardell. And whether it was in the kitchen, Mardell would raise her hand. You need help in something cooking a meal, Mardell would raise her hand. You need help in the nursery, Mardell would get up and leave a Wednesday night Bible study to go over and help in the nursery. You need help with Christmas decorating, Mardell was right there to help. Mardell was just had a servant's heart. And was always willing to give and fulfill. She found her role in fulfilling her ministry. Find something and just say, I can do that. And get engaged. You know, you think of Bunny that just went to heaven. Bunny was one of those people. If anybody had a servant's heart, Bunny had a servant's heart. Bunny had a love for the Lord and a dedication to Christ. And she found her role in several things. Number one, she loved music. And she was very good at it. And I always, always enjoyed Bunny when she got up here to be able to sing and share her heart in music. What a blessing. I'm going to miss that tremendously, those songs that she sang and fulfilling that ministry that God has called her to. Bunny also had a burden for missions and worldwide missions. And so she would get engaged in helping prepare and plan for a mission conference every year. Bunny was engaged in that and then helping us with different things. The missionary family of the week that went on the screen every week and in the bulletin, it was Bunny. I would lay out a list and a guideline, but it was Bunny that pulled that together and then put it on the prayer sheet every Wednesday night. And Bunny then volunteered to come in and say, hey, I can come in and give a little bit of time. If you don't know it, Bunny retired from AT&T and had a good career at AT&T, but found her role in serving the Lord and fulfilling what God called her to do. Operation Christmas Child come along, and so what did she say? She goes, well, I'll help with that. You know, never once did I ever go to Bunny and say, hey, is there any way you can help with this? And she said, no, I can't do that. No, I don't want to do that. And Bunny always had a servant's heart and wanting to be able to help any way she could if she had the ability to help. And so the last few years, she headed up Operation Christmas Child. So now we're going to have people step up and fill some of those roles that she did. And there's something for you to pray about. We need somebody that's going to take over Operation Christmas Child. We're going to need people that will help in the mission conference time. We're going to need, things along the way that Bunny did to help out. So fulfilling the ministry. So, and the exaltation of Christ. So when Paul said here, take this letter, read it to the church at Colossae, read it to the church at Laodicea. Why is it so important that you do that? Because it's talking about Christ and serving Christ and the indwelling Christ and the incarnate Christ and that you and I are complete as a believer. And then he warns them against different philosophies and things that would hinder them. And talking about the believer's union with Christ both now and in the hereafter. For example, look in Colossians 3, verse 1. The believer's union with Christ. Now, when I get around Brother Dick, he'd talk, and I say, Dick, what do you think about this? Well, I don't know. Let's just trust the Lord and seek God's will. And that's what Dick would always come back with, oftentimes with that. And I would say, what do you think about this? And he'd say, well, let's just trust the Lord and see how God works that out. So the believer's union with Christ, both now and in the hereafter. Colossians 3:1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So set your affection on things above. Find something that God has given you to do. Fulfill your ministry and your calling in which God has laid in front of you. And then be faithful in serving the Lord. And so when you get to Colossians chapter 4, it's all about fulfilling your ministry. Notice in verse 17, he says here, and say to Archippus here, take heed to the ministry. Take heed to the ministry, which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. So point being in verse 17 is follow your ministry. Follow that which God has laid in. Not everybody does the same thing. Not everybody's going to pastor the church. Not everybody's going to lead the music. Not everybody's going to be a deacon. Not everybody's going to be a teacher. But whatever your role is, whatever you do, find your ministry in the Lord's work and fulfill that. That's why it is so important when he went down through here and he began to name all these names, Tychicus and Onesimus and Aristarchus and Marcus and Jesus and Epaphras and Luke and Demas and all these. They found their role and fulfill it. Be faithful to that. Let me show you something in Philemon 2, because this Archippus here, talking about fulfilling, is a fellow soldier of Christ. You know, it's great if we all will just fulfill our ministry and what we've been called to do as a team, as a work together, and it will strengthen the body of Christ. Notice what he said here, Paul, as he said, addresses Philemon in verse 1, verse 2. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. And to our beloved Apaphia, and here it is now, Archippus. Remember that Archippus, that's the same one that Paul mentioned over in Colossians in chapter 4, verse 17, says there, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the same person, a fellow soldier. So when you think about that, we are all fellow soldiers in the cause of Christ. If one lays down their banner, if one decides to go that God's called them onto heaven, then it's time for somebody else to pick up the mantle and say, you know what, I can learn to do that. I'll do this. And don't wait on somebody said to come around and tap you on the shoulder and say, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? That would be great. And you know, one of the Dr. Spracklin, I always appreciated a lot of things that that man did. But one thing he was really good at is after somebody would get into the church and start coming, he'd say, put them to work. Find a place for them. Put them to work. And put them to work and get them engaged. Find something that you can do. And there is so many things on that ministry list. If you go out, look at it at the Welcome Center. And there's things you want to teach. There's opportunities right now. We need children's ministry teachers. We need vacation Bible school workers. We need people that will help Barb Allison in the Awana ministry with children there. Brother Adam will need help with camps and summer camps and things coming up. Find a place that you can get engaged in. Mark and Pam are working with that college age group and doing a great job. And that's a hard age to reach as kids come and go. Get engaged and get involved with them and find a role, something you can do and something you can place. And I appreciate that today. Come in today. As many of you know, Paul Tacy is down and still sick, not 100%. I thought he'd be here this morning. He didn't make it. And I noticed the walks were cleaned off or whatever come in. And I love and I appreciate it. Brother Devin came in and he said, who's cleaning the lot? And I said, well, it should have been already done, but it wasn't. So I appreciate that, brother. He says, well, I can do that. And so he headed off and Brother Adam took him to the barn and grabbed the snowplow truck and he jumped on it. So now he's a professional snowplow truck driver. And now, so I can do that. And then this afternoon, coming back, Brother Frank Barrett come back in later today and took a little bit of time and cleaned up some of the rest of the lot. I appreciate that. People that will do that and say, see a need and fill it. See a need and fill it. Fulfill your ministry in whatever it is in the church. You see a need, jump in. Encourage somebody else to jump in and to use their talents and use their abilities and use their things for the Lord. But keep your eye focused upon the lost, upon those that need Christ, upon those that need the Savior, and fulfilling our work in our ministry. You know, there'll be some this year and 2021, I hate to say it, that will lay down, their ability to serve the Lord. I don't think you can ever get to the point, you can retire, yes. You can pull back and not do as much, yes. But never find a place where you get back and say, well, I'm home free. Now, I've reached a certain age in life where I can't do anything. Let me give you Other and Juanita Wagers, for example. Other and Juanita Wagers were faithful servants of Christ for years and years and years, both at Temple Baptist Church and here in this church. Soul winners, and they would go out and knock on doors and visit with people and bring them to church and talk to them, and if they wanted to come forward, they'd walk down forward with them and help them make a profession of their faith in Christ and coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Well, Other now is 96 years old, was our head usher for years. So they're not able to get out and come anymore, but when you talk to them, they can still be prayer warriors and praying at home. They stay in touch. I stay in touch. Rosalind stays in touch. And we get cards from them all the time. They continue to support the ministry and the work of the ministry. They're not able to do at 96 what they did at 86, what they did at 76, and what they did all of those years in serving the Lord. Find your place. Fulfill your ministry. Dick Hook fulfilled his ministry. God took him home. Joanne Sabo fulfilled her ministry, and God took her home. I think about Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson served all those years and taught the Bible and taught Sunday school and was faithful and a deacon and served the Lord in so many ways and fulfilled his ministry. And when the time came, boom, God took him home to heaven. You go on and on, servant after servant. Mardell Wilcox, faithful in her late, 68, 67, whatever age, she's in her late 60s, faithful in serving the Lord all those years, faithful. And then the time came fulfilling her. How do you know when the time when you fulfill your, you don't know. You just be faithful. Just say, God, I'm going to be faithful to the very end. And then, you know, that I really think that's the way to go. Just give it all you got, the best you have, as long as you can. And then when you take that last breath, boom, you're in heaven. And you go to be with the Lord. Bunny was that kind of a person. Bunny was one of those people that she served the Lord right up until she got put in the hospital. And I wouldn't even be surprised if she served the Lord there, sharing the gospel with whoever she could at the time. What a mission field that is when you go to the hospital or you go to a therapy place or you go to some medical facility or whatever. You talk about a mission field. Look around you. I mean, I'm in and out of all these hospitals, Henry Ford and Ann Arbor, St. Joe and Annapolis and Garden City, et cetera, and all these places. What a mission field. I remember one time going into Garden City Hospital, and I was meeting with Bev McLeod and Katie was getting ready to have surgery that morning. And so we're sitting there, and so they were getting ready to call Katie's name to take her back for surgery. And I looked at Katie and said, Katie, I said, I think we should have prayer here before you go back and go to surgery. Is that all right? And I looked at Bev, and she said, sure, absolutely. So we all joined hands and had prayer together. And so lo and behold, as they were sitting there waiting to go, somebody, a total stranger, got up across the aisleway over in another waiting area, walked over and said, I saw you guys praying over here before she went into surgery. Is there any way you could come over here and pray with us? And I thought, what a golden opportunity. So you get up, say, sure, absolutely. And we get up, go over there, total stranger, didn't know them, but they're there going through whatever it is that they're going through and feeling the need and the urgency that somebody would pray for them and be concerned about their need. There's opportunities all around you and I if we'll just look for them, if we'll just be a testimony for the cross of Christ. Find a place to pray. Find a place to witness. Find a tract to give out. Share the gospel. Reach out to every lost person that you possibly can get in touch with, your neighbor, those at work, your coworkers, somebody at the grocery store, somebody that you do business with. You know, I feel so bad this year in 2020 as we come out of 2020 into 2021. So many small businesses are being impacted in such a way, many are not going to make it. Where we go and to National Coney Island and have AM Connection. We know those people personally. Warren Miller's here this morning, and Warren Miller's in there. Don Keener and many, many guys will come and go. Jim Monroe and that. But we know those. And last time I was in there talking to them, Cindy, the one lady, I said, "How you doing?" She goes, "It's not good. It is not. It is hugely. Yeah, you can draw unemployment for a little bit." But all these people are being impacted. The waiters, the waitresses, that wherever you go, as you're in and out of restaurants, their lives and livelihood are being impacted. The small business owners, you see by that, they're hanging on. If some of them haven't already closed up, they're hanging on by a thread. Now I see the government, they may open up and give out some more PPP money and for the small businesses, and I don't know. We'll see where that all kinds of goes. But there are many out there that are hurting, and what a great opportunity for you and I as the light, as God's children, to reach out to these people and to let them know, hey, I care. I care about you. And if you find somebody that has a genuine need and somebody that we can be a help and encouragement to, we should and absolutely be a help and encouragement in the community to anybody that we can. Right across the street, we know these people and these businesses that are over here. David, who owns M&M Cafe. Many of you go in and out of M&M Cafe, a good little cafe right here in this plaza. And I know David, the owner there, as we're in and out of there. And boy, this is hurting all of them big time. They're hanging on. If you got assets, you're drilling down on your assets, burning up your money and your savings accounts or some maybe even their retirement accounts to be able to hang on to a thread. So find your ministry and fulfill it. Maybe your ministry this year needs to be in the nursery. Maybe your ministry this year needs to be in the children's ministry. Maybe your ministry needs to be this year, and I hope that it can pick up steam and get going again, is our Golden Age ministry. What a rich and important ministry in our church that really got all the brakes put on it this year. They didn't really do much of anything at all this year, and now we're starting out, and a lot of them are getting older. And you know what we need? We need for the people in the next generation to step into that role. And here's something for you to pray about. You say, find your role, find your ministry, fulfill your ministry. Ann Vanover keeps talking to me as the senior pastor of the church. That pastor, she goes, I don't have the energy that I used to have. I can't do it. It's just wearing her out. Dixie Monroe is now, I think, about 86, and Dixie jumps in there and helps. And those two ladies keep telling me, say, we need some younger ladies in the church that'll step up and help out on these funeral dinners. Ann says, I'd love to be able to get somebody to take that over and to head that up. And at some point, Ann's not going to be able to do that anymore. I talked to Ann yesterday, and John's having a little bit of health issues, not able to be here. But there's another individual. What a blessing funeral dinners have been to so many families. 10 families this year in 2020. What a blessing that has been. You know, the church pays maybe 100, 200 bucks to buy the food or whatever it is, and we do that to be a blessing and a help and encouragement to those that have gone on to allow families a time to fellowship. We do that as a ministry, as an outreach ministry, and so many families have said time and time again what a blessing that ministry has been. So find that role, pray about that, fulfill your ministry, fulfill your calling, and be faithful to what God has called you to do. And there's always something that can be done. Find that, whatever that is, the Holy Spirit will show you and lead you and fulfill that which God has given to you to do. Heavenly Father, God, tonight we